This episode is brought to you by Duck Sox Corporation, a manufacturer of fabric air dispersion systems. Duck Sox systems discharge air through a combination of porous fabrics, engineered orifices, and linear vents to meet a large range of HVAC and refrigeration requirements in virtually any market segment. Hello, and welcome to News Update. I'm your host, Angela Harris, and this episode's top stories are labor shortage. Will HVAC pass the test? And HVAC is questioning the DOE's guidelines. This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. This is only a test. Many of the baby boomers grew up listening to these words on the radio and television at regular intervals. Nuclear war with Russia never occurred, but an entire generation knows how to duck and cover. This generation makes up the bulk of the current workforce, especially in the HVAC industry. Behind them comes a new generation whose threat is not from a country, but from the possible lack of a job and from a misunderstanding that the trades are not an option for intelligent people seeking a profitable future. It is this threat that has boomers and the next generations alike sitting around their computers reading reports from the United States Bureau of Labor and Statistics that warn a trained workforce gap is coming and the HVAC industry will not be spared. What can be done to avoid this potential disaster? Acknowledging that a gap is coming could arguably be a first step in avoiding it. Worrying about it without taking action, that likely won't help. In fact, it might be time to get a new attitude altogether. Instead of seeing this as a labor shortage, it might be more beneficial to refocus and look at the growth expected over the next decade, between 18% to 26%, according to the BLS. The current shortage predictions show that of the approximately 78 million baby boomers, roughly 40% will become eligible for retirement over the next 10 years. The new workforce coming up only has approximately 40 million new workers to offer. Do the math. As America grows older, we will be building more hospitals, pharmacies, retirement communities, etc., etc., said Howard Weiss, marketing director for the ESCO Group. Who's going to install the HVACR equipment in those facilities? That question is one that the industry has been addressing for years. In an effort to change the Bubba stereotype that those outside the industry can mistakenly associate with HVAC technicians, industry sectors have worked together to clean up the look, the idea, and the qualifications necessary to be a successful and certified HVAC technician. It seems that these efforts are beginning to pay off. U.S. News & World Report placed HVAC technician in its 50 best jobs of 2011, citing that this career should have strong overgrowth over the next decade. It continued with a full article dedicated to the explanation of the job and its benefits. The Bureau of Labor Statistics is also reporting favorably about the prospects of being an HVAC technician. Job prospects for HVACR mechanics and installers are expected to be excellent, said a report, particularly for those who have completed training. Employment is projected to grow much faster than the average. Despite the good press and upward growth trend, contractors are reporting that finding technicians is still a challenge. To find out what contractors are doing to fill their worker shortages, go to achrnews.com and search labor shortage. The DOE is working on new workforce guidelines, and the HVAC industry has something to say about that. According to DOE, the purpose of the new workforce guidelines is to ensure the quality of work performed for residential energy upgrades under DOE's Weatherization Assistance Program, also known as WAP. WAP provides money to the states to enable low-income families to make their homes more energy efficient. According to Richard Knobb, project leader for Home Energy Upgrade Worker Certification at DOE's National Renewable Energy Laboratory, the main focus of the guidelines is to develop a nationwide standard for weatherization assistance programs. This includes a nationwide worker certification and training program. As far as other federal money situations, he said, we don't have any indication that anyone's going to adopt them, although they could. The guidelines were first published in the Federal Register on November 9, 2010, and made available for public comment. According to Knobb, over 900 comments were submitted during the public comment period. Initially, the plan called for the DOE to take comments and then release the final version. This push-ahead approach had many in the industry concerned that their comments were not being properly reviewed and considered, according to Charlie McCrudden of the ACCA. McCrudden noted that a smaller coalition of industry organizations initially reached out to DOE through a letter sent on May 18th, but did not receive any response. Consequently, a coalition of 21 associations affiliated with the home contracting industry sent a letter on June 24 to DOE expressing their concerns about the guidelines. The coalition includes many organizations familiar to HVAC contractors such as ACCA, Hardy, AHRI, RSES, and more. In addition, other organizations ranging from the NAHB to the Window and Door Manufacturers Association joined the coalition, as did training and code-making organizations such as NATE, HVAC Excellence, and ICC. The June 24 letter addressed the main concerns of these different industry groups by raising questions about the development process for the guidelines and the selection process for the guidelines certifying body. We are alarmed at the limited and opaque process by which the workforce guidelines for home energy upgrades and the selection process for the workforce guidelines certifying body are being carried out, said the coalition. It described the development process of the guidelines as, quote, flawed from the beginning. It then criticized both the drafting and commenting phases. The letter stated, the original version was drafted behind closed doors without input from industry stakeholders. In addition, the coalition also stated that there are technical problems in the guidelines, which cite standards that, quote, in important instances are in conflict with national model codes and underlying consensus standards. DOE formally responded to the coalition's letter on August 4th and defended its process for developing the guidelines. The first draft of the workforce guidelines was the product of an extended process involving WAP technicians and trainers, private home performance contractors, building scientists, healthy homes and worker safety experts, and other professionals from the building trades and home energy upgrade industry, the DOE letter stated. Additionally, DOE's website now explains, quote, DOE is currently working with industry experts to reconcile some technical issues identified during the initial public review of the Workforce Guidelines for Home Energy Upgrades document. A revised draft will be available for a second public review in the fall of 2011. At present, the DOE is working to address the coalition's concern about the accuracy of the guidelines with additional review periods for members of the industry and the public. To read the full story, search Industry Questions DOE at www.achrnews.com. Are you interested in the latest new products? Coming up, you'll find out what's new for the HVAC industry. This product report is brought to you by ControlCentral.com, the largest online HVACR store you've never heard of, yet. And by City Voice, the HVAC search marketing experts. In this week's product segment, we are highlighting a few of the products showcased at achrnews.com. One of those products is the AccuBid LiveCount family of on-screen takeoff solutions for mechanical, electrical, and plumbing trades, which is including a new version of LiveCount and LiveCount Pro. The software solutions provide contractors with the ability to seamlessly integrate and mark up digital image files to manage the quantification process during takeoffs. This eliminates the need to import and/or export information to either the on-screen takeoff tool or the estimate since they are linked. The new version of LiveCount offers the system's ability to create and manage alternate bids, giving contractors the tools they need to create what-if scenarios. Contractors can also retrieve both length and count in one pass in LiveCount, effectively cutting branch takeoff time in half. The LiveCount link to a takeoff can also be broken, providing contractors greater control by allowing manual overrides. The new LiveCount Pro introduces an auto-count process, a symbol recognition feature that automatically quantifies like objects in the drawing. The auto count feature also ignores objects that have already been counted and allows the estimator to isolate part of the drawing to be counted. This can speed up takeoff time significantly. For more information, visit www.accubid.com. Another product is A.O. Smith Water Products Company's solar thermal water heaters. The Cyrix Solar Thermal Water Heating product line has been expanded. The innovative solar water heating system is now available in 16 package systems to meet a wide variety of consumer applications. With this system, up to 70% of the energy needed for a home's water heating can be captured from the sun, which according to the company can significantly reduce operating costs. It is an all-in-one system for easy specification and installation. According to the manufacturer, the solar thermal collectors are much more effective at capturing energy from the sun compared with traditional photovoltaic solar panels, and they do it at a fraction of the cost. The larger the tank and number of panels incorporated into the system, the more effectively the Cyrix can capture energy from the sun. The system is OG300 by the Solar Rating and Certification Corporation and eligible for a federal tax credit of 30% of the total installed cost, with no maximum, said the company. Additional state and local incentives may also apply. For more information, visit www.hotwater.com. Our final product is ServoFlow Corp's Compensated Pressure Sensor. The MS4515 series of pressure sensors for low pressure measurement ranges is a ceramic-based PCB mount pressure sensor using the latest in CMOS signal conditioning circuitry to create a low-cost, high-performance sensor, said the company. With an analog or digital output, the sensor is available in various calibration ranges between 0 to 2 inches H2O up to 0 to 30 inches H2O. The analog version, MS4515, provides a ratiometric voltage output, while the digital one, MS4515DO, provides a 14-bit digital output for pressure and an 11-bit output for temperature in an I2C or SPI protocol. Both models are fully calibrated and compensated with a total error band of less than 1% over the compensated range. The sensor operates from a single supply of either 3.3 or 5 VDC. A low power option is available. The sensor is available with single or dual side ports, top ports, or manifold mount in a gauge or differential configuration. Another feature of the sensor is the 1/8 inch barred pressure ports that mate securely with 3/32 inch ID tubing. Typical applications include blocked filter detection, altitude and airspeed measurements, medical equipment, fire suppression systems, etc. For more information, go to www.servoflow.com. To see more products online, check out the latest additions to the Product of the Week and What's New sections on the news' homepage, www.achrnews.com. I've still got some news bits and online highlights to share with you, so stick around. News bits and online highlights are brought to you by Dynatemp International, Dynacycle Refrigerant Recycling Program. Recycle, get rewarded. The Building Performance Institute Incorporated, BPI, announced the release for preliminary testing of the second version of HPXML, a protocol designed to facilitate and simplify the transfer of home performance-related data. HPXML is very important for the home performance industry because it will reduce the time and cost associated with communication of information, said Larry Zarker, BPI CEO. The industry needs to collect and analyze information on energy upgrades, and HPXML allows this information to be shared easily and accurately. BPI released the first version of HPXML in the fall of 2010. The second version provides rules for communicating a much larger data set that includes detailed information about building characteristics, energy conservation measures, and energy savings. The U.S. Green Building Council, USGBC, announced that the Green Building Certification Institute has certified its 10,000th Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design commercial project. The Live Oak Family Resource Center in Santa Cruz, California, which was awarded LEED Platinum by GBCI, is the milestone project earning the 10,000th LEED certification. A community center, Live Oak Family Resource Center is a place for families to come for guidance, information, and referrals on childbirth and parenting, health education and services, youth and senior programs, food distribution, and other community needs. The Mechanical Contractors Association of America released a new educational DVD to assist mechanical construction foremen and project managers in resolving safety conflicts on the job site. According to MCAA, the DVD, Making It Work, Safety Conflict Resolution for Supervisors, provides the skills supervisors need to address job site safety conflicts in the most effective and efficient manner possible. Safety conflicts occur daily in the mechanical construction industry, said Tom Skaggs, chairman of MCAA Safety and Health Committee and vice president safety for the Murphy Company. This type of conflict, when not handled properly, can slow productivity, create animosity, destroy relationships, and cost employers money. The DVD highlights the reasons behind most safety conflicts: personal differences, misinformation, incompatible roles, and work stress. It then teaches supervisors about the five approaches most frequently used when attempting to resolve safety conflicts, and which one typically provides the best opportunity for effective and efficient safety conflict resolution. For more news, head to www.achrnews.com. While there, don't forget to check out some of the news's current content. Did you notice we have a brand new website? Register today and gain full access to all of the news's content, including videos, extra edition, and countless HVAC business and technical articles. Go to achrnews.com/register and do it now. Have you liked us on Facebook, followed us on Twitter, or connected with us on LinkedIn? If not, go to achrnews.com and scroll to the bottom of the page. Look on the right for our social media icons and get connected. While there, you can sign up for our e-newsletter as well. It provides you timely content right to your inbox. And don't forget to vote in the 2011 Reader's Choice Awards. Head to achrnews.com/dealerdesign and choose your product champion. The ballot changes weekly, so don't forget to continue to vote your product choice through to the winning spot. We're all out of time for this episode, but be sure to catch the next episode at achrnews.com/podcast or search ACHR News on iTunes. If you have an iPad, you can download our app as well. The July issue is sponsored by Bosch, and in it you will find interactive content centered around the theme high-end HVAC. How high will efficiency go? Download the News HD and find out. I'm Angela Harris, and this has been your news update. This episode was brought to you by Yellow Jacket by Ritchie Engineering, featuring their all-new HVACR vacuum pump bullet. This two-stage rotary vane oil-sealed 7 CFM pump pulls down to 25 microns or better. It has a wide-mouth oil reservoir port for easier, cleaner filling. It doubles as pump exhaust and is threaded to attach garden hose for exhausting to remote locations. Yellow Jacket's bullet. Consider yourself armed and ready. For more information, visit www.yellowjacket.com.